This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. The role of regret in deepening emotional self-knowledge. How looking back honestly can sharpen how clearly you see yourself. In short, regret is one of the most underused tools for building emotional self-knowledge. Most people treat it as a wound to close quickly. The ones who develop genuine self-awareness treat it as a signal worth decoding. It shows you what you value, what triggers you, and where your emotional patterns are still running unchecked. Definition: emotional self-knowledge is the capacity to recognize your own feelings, understand what produces them, and see clearly how they drive your behavior. It is not just noticing that you are angry or anxious. It is understanding why those states arise and what they consistently cost you. Most people believe they know themselves reasonably well. They can name their strengths. They know what irritates them. They have a working sense of who they are. But genuine emotional self-knowledge is something different. It is not a general impression of yourself. It is a precise map of your inner life, built from honest examination of real moments. Here's what I have noticed after 60 years of watching people communicate, lead, and struggle with each other. The moments that teach us the most about ourselves are rarely the comfortable ones. They are the moments we would rather forget. The sharp word we cannot take back. The silence we kept when we should have spoken. The reaction we are still explaining to ourselves months later. Regret, properly examined, is one of the most direct routes to emotional self-knowledge you will ever find. The question is whether you are willing to look. Why regret reaches places that calm reflection cannot. There is a kind of self-reflection that feels productive, but stays shallow. You sit quietly, you think about your patterns, you nod at your own insights. That kind of reflection has value, but it tends to stay at a safe altitude, above the emotional weather. Regret works differently. It has grip. When you regret something, you cannot stay neutral about it. The memory comes with heat, and that heat is information. It tells you that something you care about was violated, a value, a relationship, a standard you hold for yourself. You cannot manufacture that signal through calm contemplation. It arises precisely because something mattered. I spent a long stretch of my 40s convinced I was a patient communicator. I had a framework for it. I could explain the principles. Then a difficult conversation with someone I respected ended with me dismissing their concern in a way that was, if I'm honest, contemptuous. The regret I felt afterward was not about being wrong. It was about the gap between who I thought I was and what I had actually done. That gap is where emotional self-knowledge lies. Calm reflection had never shown it to me that clearly. The mechanism, how regret reveals your actual values. The reason regret is such a sharp tool is that it bypasses the story you tell about yourself and goes straight to the evidence. You can believe you are a fair person. You can repeat that belief for years. But when you regret treating someone unfairly, the belief is suddenly not enough. The regret insists that something real happened, and it demands you account for it. This is the core mechanism. Regret exposes the distance between your espoused values and your enacted values. Your espoused values are what you say you believe. Your enacted values are what your actual behavior reveals. Most of us have a gap between those two things, and most of the time, we do not see it clearly. Regret narrows the distance. It forces the two versions of yourself into the same room. When you feel genuine regret, three things are present simultaneously. First, you understand that your action caused a cost to someone else, to a relationship, or to your own integrity. Second, you recognize that you could have done otherwise. Regret only arises when you sense you had a choice. Third, and most importantly for self-knowledge, you feel that the action was inconsistent with something you actually care about. That third element is the one worth excavating. The practical consequence of understanding this is direct. When regret surfaces, your first question should not be how do I feel better? Your first question should be what does this tell me about what I actually value? The answer, examined honestly, will show you more about your emotional interior than a year of pleasant self-reflection. This kind of honest reckoning is exactly what underpins the skills explored in emotional intelligence and tone in leadership communication. Because the tone you use under pressure is always a product of how well you know your own emotional patterns before the pressure arrives. What regret looks like when it is teaching you something. Let me give you two situations where this plays out in ways most people recognize, but rarely name. A manager snaps at a team member in a meeting, not aggressively, but dismissively. The moment passes. Later, the regret arrives, not just social embarrassment, but something with more weight. When a manager sits with the feeling rather than brushing it aside, they often discover something specific. They dismiss the person at the exact moment the person was pointing out a problem the manager had already seen and not addressed. The regret is not about tone. It is about the discomfort of being held accountable. That is emotional self-knowledge, understanding not just what you did, but what emotional pressure produced it. A second situation. Someone stays quiet during a conversation where they disagreed strongly. They leave frustrated, partly at the other person, partly at themselves. The regret at their silence is not simply about conflict avoidance. When examined, it reveals something about the specific relationship they are willing to speak up in some contexts, but not this one, which tells them something about where their confidence is conditional and why. That is the kind of self-knowledge that cannot come from general introspection. It requires the specific sting of a specific moment. If you are working on how your emotional state affects your communication under pressure, the core framework for staying calm when feedback triggers a defensive reaction gives you a practical system for exactly those moments. But the framework works better when you already understand your triggers, and regret is how you come to understand them. Why most people never mine regret for self-knowledge. The most common reason people do not use regret this way is simple: they treat it as a wound rather than a signal. The discomfort is real, and the instinct to close it off quickly is natural. Culture reinforces this. Move on. Don't dwell. Let it go. These instructions are not wrong exactly, but they are incomplete. They tell you when to stop looking. They never tell you to look first. There is a second reason, which is subtler. Examining regret honestly requires you to accept that your behavior was produced by something in you, not just by the circumstances. That is uncomfortable in a different way. It is easier to conclude that you reacted badly because the situation was difficult, the other person was unreasonable, or the timing was wrong. All of that may be true, but if those factors are the whole explanation, there is nothing for you to learn, and the same pattern will surface in the next difficult situation. The third reason is that people often confuse self-examination with self-punishment. They fear that looking closely at a moment of regret will spiral into relentless self-criticism. It can, if you approach it without discipline. But honest self-examination and self-punishment are not the same thing. One asks, what does this reveal about my patterns? The other asks, how bad a person am I? The first question is useful. The second is not. Understanding where this confusion comes from is part of what signs your leadership voice is driven by anxiety rather than intention addresses, because anxiety and regret can become entangled in ways that make both harder to work with. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at imonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Turning the signal into self-knowledge, a practical method. When regret surfaces, here is the method I have come back to over decades. It is not complicated. It requires honesty. Name the moment precisely. Do not stay with the vague feeling. Identify the specific exchange, the specific words or silence, the exact point where something went wrong. Vague regret teaches nothing. Precise regret is a map. Identify what value was violated. Ask yourself, what do I care about that this action contradicted? Was it fairness, respect, courage, connection, honesty? The answer tells you which of your values is still more aspirational than operational. Locate the emotional pressure that preceded it. What were you feeling in the moments before the action you now regret? Fear, resentment, impatience, the need to be right. That emotion is a recurring trigger you need to know. It will return. Ask what you would do with that same pressure now. Not as self-punishment, but as preparation. The goal is to build a clearer picture of yourself under stress so that next time you can see it coming. This process is what how to use the core framework to stay grounded during a tense workplace conversation helps you apply in real time. But that kind of groundedness is built over time, from moments of honest self-examination, including the ones that begin with regret. The connection between confidence and this kind of self-knowledge is explored in what the confidence competence loop reveals about why some people give better feedback, and in how the confidence competence loop explains why some managers handle workplace tension better than others. People who handle tension and feedback well are really people who never regret anything. They are people who have used their regrets to understand themselves more precisely. The difference between dwelling and examining. One objection I hear. But I have examined it. I've gone over it 100 times, and it still hurts. That is dwelling, not examining. Dwelling is repetitive and circular, the same loop of the same memory, producing the same feeling, with no new information. Examining is directional. You go in with specific questions. You look for specific answers, and you come out knowing something you did not know before. If regret keeps returning without producing clarity, it usually means one of two things. Either the examination has not been honest enough, you're circling around the real answer rather than landing on it, or the insight is clear, but you have not yet made a decision about how to act on it. Insight without a behavioural commitment tends to fester. The regret does not dissolve until you have decided, concretely, what you will do differently. How the confidence-competence loop explains why some leaders develop a stronger voice faster shows how this kind of iterative self-improvement compounds over time. The leaders who grow fastest are not the ones who avoid painful self-reflection. They are the ones who complete it and act on what they find. What do you carry forward? This much I know for certain: the people who develop the deepest emotional self-knowledge are not the ones who had the smoothest pass. They are the ones who stopped running from the difficult moments and asked what those moments were actually telling them. Regret is not a comfortable teacher. It does not arrive gently, and it does not reward avoidance. But it is one of the most honest teachers you will encounter, because it cannot be argued with. It points at something real. It shows you the gap between who you believe you are and what your behavior reveals. And when you close that gap, even slightly, you become more capable in conversation, in leadership, in every relationship that demands something real from you. That is what building emotional self-knowledge through the honest examination of regret actually produces, and it is worth every uncomfortable minute of the work. Frequently asked questions. What is emotional self-knowledge? Emotional self-knowledge is the ability to recognize your own feelings, understand what drives them, and see how they shape your behavior. It goes beyond naming emotions. It means understanding the patterns beneath them and why certain situations consistently trigger certain responses in you. How does regret deepen emotional self-knowledge? Regret points directly at the gap between your values and your actions. When you examine what you regret and why it still stings, you learn what you actually care about, not what you think you care about. That distinction is where real self-knowledge lives. Is regret a useful tool for self-awareness or just painful? Regret is both, and that is what makes it powerful. The discomfort is not the problem, it is the signal. When you sit with regret rather than dismiss it, it shows your real priorities, your recurring triggers, and the emotional patterns you have not yet addressed. How do you examine regret without spiraling into self-criticism? Focus on what the regret reveals, not on punishing yourself for it. Ask what value was violated, what emotion drove the behavior, and what you would do differently now. Keep the inquiry specific and time-limited. Self-criticism loops inward. Honest self-examination points forward. Why do most people avoid using regret for self-reflection? Because regret is uncomfortable, and most people treat discomfort as a signal to stop rather than to look closer. There is also a cultural pressure to move on quickly. The moving on before you have understood what happened means you carry the pattern into the next situation unexamined. How is emotional self-knowledge different from general self-awareness? General self-awareness means noticing your thoughts and feelings in the moment. Emotional self-knowledge goes deeper. It means understanding the why beneath those feelings, recognizing recurring patterns, and knowing how your emotional history shapes your present reactions. It is self-awareness with roots, not just observation. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.